Thank you, and God bless you this morning. It's a privilege again this morning to come to be able to fellowship, even though we're not in person to do it, and share the Word of God and encourage one another in the name of the Lord. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you've had a good week, but even if you have had some difficulties, it's still a wonderful time to worship the Lord and give Him praise and honor and glory for the things that He's done. We live in a world of trouble and disappointment. We live in a world that seems like it's lost its direction, and it seems like that there are situations on every hand, but the old song said, God is still on the throne, and that's what we have to look to and remember. That's what we have to believe with all of our heart, that God is still in control, and he's sitting high, and he's looking low upon us this morning, and thank God for it. Well, it's been a busy summer. It's almost August, and I don't know where the time has gone, but I just greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've just been on the go and had some things going on, and I'm just so thankful that we're back this morning to give you a report of what God is doing and how God is ministering to the hearts and lives of people. We were in a service in Nashville, Tennessee, just a couple of days ago, and I looked around at the end of the service, and there was someone I hadn't seen in years. It just came up, and we had wonderful fellowship of what God had done through the past. But they needed some encouragement, and sometimes God sends you on a journey which you think is for one thing, but it's for another thing. And God may send you on a journey for one person, for one person. Jesus left the multitude, if you remember, and something stirred in his heart, and he told the disciples, he said, let's get in the boat and go over to the other side. He went over to the other side of the lake, the Bible said, and there was a man who was so filled with evil spirits that he was called Legion, which means there are many. And Jesus ministered to him and set him free, and you would have thought that a great revival would have broken out, and people would have said, oh, thank God for this man that has come to bring deliverance to us. But they turned on him and asked him to leave and go to another country. And so many people reject God, but I'm so glad when I found him, I knew that it was what I needed, not only for now, but for eternity, praise God. I also had the privilege of meeting the man who wrote the song, I'm Standing on Holy Ground. And I feel the presence of the Lord all around. Let us praise Jesus now. Let us praise Jesus now, because I'm standing on holy ground. I'm standing in his presence on holy ground. He wrote that song. I found out the background of it, and when you do that, it even makes it more powerful. He was a preacher's kid, a PK, if you please, and his father was pastor in the church, and they were having some kind of dedication or something, and his father said to him, I want you to come up with something for the service that we're going to have. And you know how young people do. He was only 18 when he wrote this song. Can you believe that? Can you believe that the song, I'm Standing on Holy Ground, was written by an 18-year-old? And you know how they do sometimes. You say, well, have you got your, I'll get it later. Did you do this? Did you take care of this chore? I'll get it later. Well, it came up to the Saturday night before it was time for the service the next day. And in 15 minutes, he wrote that song, I'm Standing on Holy Ground. Jaron Davis is his name. The next morning, he gathered his siblings together and put the music to it and taught them, and they sang that, because he said something jumped in his heart and said, well, what can I say about the house of God? What can I say about the house of God? What can I do to honor God? And he said, we're entering into his presence. So many people don't go to church anymore, but there's a place that God has set aside for us to gather together to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're a body, and we need to come together, not just for socials or for this or for that, but to honor the Lord and praise the Lord and study his word. Big revival been going on in Burlington, North Carolina. Thousands have come and hundreds have been saved. I think it finally closed this week after 12 weeks of revival. But I read where some man said, not only must we get them saved, but we must get them committed. We must make disciples out of them so that they'll not go back or float or not know how to stand. So, I feel like I'm standing in his presence this morning on holy ground. In his presence, there's joy beyond measure. Praise God, praise God, praise God. What stirred my heart is that God can do quick things. God can give 24-hour miracles. God can move in a mighty way, and sometimes we have to wait. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. We know that, the heir of the promise. But sometimes God moves suddenly. On the day of Pentecost, they'd been waiting 10 days, and the Bible suddenly there came from heaven a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need more today than anything else is a renewing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. But I just thought that was wonderful, because sometimes we just don't know how God's going to do things, or don't even know if he is going to do them. And all of a sudden, in a moment's time, God can come through. But see that's the gift that's in a person. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, said, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the gifts. I wish the gifts of God would be stirred up in our life this morning. Well, you know, I love to share the gospel, but I'd sure love to hear from you. You know, I'm almost going on 2 years we've been on this station, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. But I don't offer something to get you to respond by emotions or whatever. But I would love to hear from you. I would love for you to send me a little message or something. Put a little message on my Facebook page or Cathedral's Facebook page, or send me an email at rayamwhittington@gmail.com, or take a little time. My grandson lives out of town, and he's very up to date with all of the modern things, but his mother told Glenda the other day, said he loves to get mail. He loves to get mail. P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina. That's P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. I want you to be an intricate part of what we're doing. I don't want you to just be a listener to this program. I want you to get involved in what God's doing. It takes support to do this. It takes money to spread the gospel. It takes prayer. I want you to designate some time each week to pray for this broadcast. It'll be a blessing to somebody, and that lives will be changed and touched by the power of God. I have a word this morning for you, and sometimes, you know, we everybody wants to hear a good word, but this is a good word. But I was thinking about what I was talking about the house of God and holy ground, and God's sending a call to the church. God's sending a call to the church, and I don't mean to get on here and sound negative, but we're a far cry from what we need to be sometimes, and this nation needs a revival. This nation needs a stirring of God, and the Bible said judgment begins at the house of God. That's where it began, and I see so much of the so-called church world that is endorsing perversion or endorsing wrongdoing rather than standing, because, you know, it takes a backbone to stand and go against the tide. Dave Wilkerson said one time that he felt like that God would hold people that endorse people or okay people's wrongdoing to a higher accountability than actually the people that were doing it themselves. And the church is supposed to set the standard. The church is supposed to be the measuring line. The church is supposed to be the cornerstone for righteousness and holiness. And for righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We can't fall for everything because we're not standing for anything. We can't sacrifice the principles of the Word of God just to be accepted in our day. We can't sacrifice and compromise just to fill our churches, and our churches must be soul-saving stations and places where people can be taught the Word of God. We cater to the desires of the flesh. We cater to what people want to feel good. I asked a couple of children the other Sunday. I said, "Do y'all get to play during school when it's study time?" They said, "Oh no!" But it seems like that we just have lost our way. But there's a way back, and that's what I want to talk to you about. You see, a lot of people don't understand God, and. I was thinking this Zika virus is coming, and now this mosquitoes are actually in the United States is what they tell us. And you know what they did in that mile area of Florida? They went through and took. They're bringing in people that know how to destroy mosquitoes. See, when something comes that's dangerous, you don't placate it and endorse it. You destroy it. And they're even blood donors now. They're going through the blood and they're checking it because if there's any of this virus in it, then you can't use it. But we think in the church world that there's no responsibility, no calling to righteousness or holiness. I'm not talking about being a good two shoes, but I'm talking about walking in the principles of God and in the Word of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You all know it, but see, that's all we read. We just read 2 Chronicles 7:14. But see, and this goes against a lot of people's theology, but. It just has to, because it's part of the Word of God. See, we have a habit sometimes of reading what we want to read, and not reading the rest of it. We have a habit of accepting what we want to accept, but there's two things I tell you about the Word of God. I tell you about the Word of God all the time. It's not for private interpretation. It is not for private interpretation. You can't, people just want to make it say what it says. And I've shared this with you before, but see, you have to have the Spirit of God. You have to know the author to understand the writing. I told you about the years ago when the telegraph business was in vogue. And so they offered a job for somebody at a telegraph office and this man walked in, and there was dozens of people sitting in the room, and he sat down a minute, and they were all going to apply for the job. He sat down a minute and got up and went in the inner room and in the inner office and came out, and he said, "You folks can go home. I got the job." And some of them were upset and said, why did you get it?" He said, "They were typing on the telegraph keys, the Morse code, and said, if you can read this, come in and we'll interview you." And see, it takes the Spirit of God to help you understand the Word of God. And the other thing is, you have to rightly divide the Word of God. You can't just take one thing. You've got to fit it with all the pieces of the puzzle. So let me read it. Read the verse just before it, if you will. He said, verse 13. How many preachers even have you heard quote this in the last few days when they even talk about this scripture? He said, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence in my people." When do we hear that read? When do we hear that read? I mean, you know, there's things that naturally happen. But if you don't believe that God sends judgment, then all you got to do is read the Old Testament. And somebody said, but we're in the New Testament. I know that. Here's where we are. I found this scripture in Psalms 106, it's verse 14. He said, 13 said, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. What does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean? See, we're getting what we're asking for in America. We're getting, a world where nothing's wrong. You know, we equate success with wealth. He said he gave them their request. They lusted. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God. They were not walking in love. They were walking in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of love. And the Bible said that's what it said. It said he gave them their request, and he sent leanness into their souls. I had to make a decision this week of whether or not, you know, that I would try to do something that I didn't feel a witness in my soul that it was good, or if I would stand with God. He said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Oh, or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And the Bible said, see, that's where we are. That's where we are today. You know, we're having a great time, but we got leanness of soul. We got a leanness, where's the fire? Where's the desire to serve God? Where's the sacrifices of praise that we give to the Lord? They lusted, and the Bible said he granted them their request. He gave them what they wanted. He allowed it. See, so many people don't understand that that's the way it works sometimes. That, you know, people say, well, it has to be the will of God. No, not everything that goes wrong that happens is the will. We have choices. When we understand that, when we understand that one of the reasons this nation is in the shape it's in, it's because of the choices we've made, then we'll understand the way back. But as long as we say, well, that must have been the will of God. Oh, that must have been what God wanted. And when people say, oh, but Pastor, you're outdated. You live in the past. Let me read you something that the writer of Hebrews said. He said in verse 10, verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. See, we want this easy grace stuff, but we don't even understand grace. But this is New Testament stuff. He said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. See, that's where we are. We're taking advantage of the Spirit of grace. We're taking advantage of the Spirit that God has given us of grace to come in boldly to the throne of God. I sat the service the other night, and when we were standing, talking about standing on holy ground, and the minister was talking about, it was wonderful what he was talking about. He was talking about that when Jesus came, you know, that the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, so that we could all enter in, you know. What we've done is misunderstood that. The veil was rent. When we become Christians, we are called, according to Titus, I believe it is, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We become as priests in the kingdom of God. But the requirements to go into the Holy of Holies didn't change. He made it possible for us to go in, and when we say that means that a lot of people say, oh, well, that just means all of us can come in, but we can only go into the Holy of Holies where the fire is without being burned if we come in the presence of God in the condition he requires. Oh, it's an awesome thing. And the high priest, if he was not where he ought to be, then they put a bell on him with a rope, and they would pull him out, because if they didn't hear, then I don't have time to go into all that, but if they didn't hear the bell, then they knew that something would happen. But there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Since the days of John Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I know I'm probably not making sense to some of you, but that's what he said. See, he said, if I shut up to heaven, and one thing if it's a natural occurrence, it's one thing if it's a decision of men, but it's another thing if a nation forgets God, if a nation forgets God, if a people forget God, if a family forgets God. He said, if I shut up to heaven that there be no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence to my people, if my people, see, it's not going to start out there. It's going to have to start from the church, the real church, to preach the word of God. I just can't believe that people claim to be Christians and endorse the things that they do, and churches associations just accepting any and everything, and it's what they're doing is accepting stuff that is contrary to the word of God. I'm calling you to prayer. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. You know, we need God. We're not self-sufficient. And pray. I'm calling you to prayer. I'm asking some of you this morning. I'm asking you to make a mental note that I'm going to be praying for Pastor Whittington, and I'm going to be praying for the broadcast, and I'm going to join him in prayer. I'm going to, I hope somebody put a note on your calendar. It's time to pray, because that's what's going to make the difference. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Pray, oh yes, pray, and seek my face. See, we're seeking God's hand. You know, if we seek God's face, we'll get what's in His hand. My children were growing up, even in this day, if I have it. One of them came and look at me and say, "Give me $20." I'd say, you know, go find $20 yourself. But if they come up and said, "Dad, I need $20." If I had $20, and see, we need to seek the face of God. We need to seek the righteousness of God. We don't need to just seek what is in His hand. We need to seek His face. We need to have a relationship that nothing can separate us from His love. And then He said, and turn, see, and turn from their wicked ways. That's why people who get saved have to be taught that they can't go back and check on the hog pens. And when the prodigal comes home, he can't go back and check on the hogs. He's not strong enough to do it. He's got to stay under the anointing, under the presence of the people of God. He said, if we turn from their wicked ways, then, that's a big word, that's a powerful word, then will I hear from heaven. I'll hear. God wants to forgive. He wants to have fellowship. And I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We can have our personal land healed if the land around us is not healed. My granddaddy, my mother, she turned 92. Her health is gone, and I visited her this week. It's so sad, but it's glad to know that when she goes, she's going to that home in heaven. But she said my granddaddy taught her about giving. If he found a dime in his yard, he gave a penny of it to God. But he didn't ever own his farm. But when I was a little boy, we'd be out there, and it'd be a dry season, and granddaddy'd get on his knees and pray. And I've seen it not rain all around on other people's, but a little cloud would just come up over a little farm in Dillon, South Carolina, and a little rain would come down. Because you see, if you do this, he'll forgive their sin and heal their land. And now mine eyes shall be opened, and my ear attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Oh, God, help us this morning. Help us this morning. Help us this morning. Lord, I just call out to you this morning. Send revival. Send a breakthrough. Lord, touch our hearts. Touch our hearts. Lord, let us turn from the weakness that has tried to enter into our hearts and our lives. And Lord, don't let us have seared conscience or shipwrecked consciousness but help us to love delight in the law of the Lord, delight in your word, and count it an honor that you would choose us to walk in your holiness and in your righteousness. That you said, follow his steps, walk in his footsteps. Lord, that's what I want to do more than anything else in this world. Now, Lord, bless these people that have listened to this pastor by the sound of their voice. Oh, God, I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for encouragement. I pray for strength. I pray, oh, God, I pray for this nation. I pray that you would have mercy on it one more time. I pray that you would send revival. I pray that you would send Holy Ghost conviction from the pulpit to the pew, from the White House to the small house. God, do it. Do it. Send Holy Ghost revival. Well, let me bless you this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may the God of heaven give you peace that passes all understanding. This is Ray Whittington said, Jesus loves you. I love you. I love you, and I want to see you walk. I want to be standing on holy ground. I want to stand in his presence and hear him one day say, well done. God bless you is my prayer. Until next Sunday, we love you.